to, well, this edition of Market Abilities. We're all about helping you develop, to learn, to launch your business. And today we've got a little twist on what we typically do, but we're joined by a physician, a doctor, like a really important gastroenterologist named Dr. Raj. And the crowd goes wild. Hi.
Hi, guys. Dr. Raj Sharma here. So good to meet you guys here.
Yes. Okay. So now you can say it in your native language. You said you were going to start.
Yes. So, yeah. So in Punjabi, we're like, bhai ki hala thoda.
And then he was going to go, I'm just kidding. I can talk to you too. You know?
I'm still working on my English.
Yeah. 3.5 different languages that you speak, right?
Yes.
And the 0.5 is Spanish, not English.
Yes.
Okay. You're proficient in English.
Yeah. English is, you know, maybe 0.3. Okay.
So Spanish is the one that you're grappling with currently.
Working on, yeah.
¿Cómo se llama?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Un poquito.
Soy Dr. Sharma.
That is. There it is. Okay. Now, listen, are we going to call you Dr. Sharma or is it going to be Dr. Raj,
I thought you wanted that. Let's do Dr. Raj. I think that sounds better. Yeah, Sharma is my family name.
Yeah. So. And we don't want to disgrace the family or anything if you were to say something out of line, you know. So Dr. Raj it is. You and I met because you're doing great things. You're helping people. And, you know, it's not making light of a serious something. It's making it approachable. I mean, not many people want to talk about it when your stomach hurts and you're constipated and you're in the bathroom, you can't go and stuff. But you've made a career out of this. So talk about it and talk about your approach to care.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I do colonoscopies for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is a bleep situation. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
I
had to.
It pays the bills.
It does.
You know, I got to know people deeply.
Deep. No. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's, I kind of like what I do. I really, really enjoy being a gastroenterologist. You get a chance to look at the big picture, help people with their nutrition, but also you can take action. I'm a man of action. I like to take action. And with the colonoscopies and things I have access to, I can take physical action to do things that'll make a difference and save your life.
Yeah.
For example, if there's a polyp, I could take the polyp out, done, and that drops the cancer risk way down.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you know, that's the thing when people come to you, I honestly don't know of anybody I've ever met that's ever said, woohoo, I'm going to see my gastroenterologist today. I'm going to have a colonoscopy. It's one of those dreaded things to the point that we've like put an age on it. We're like, we are not touching that until the age of 40 or whatever it is. But you know, you've seen patients who have come in and you're dealing with things at an earlier age. So we need to take the uncertainty out of it. It's those things that you don't know that can hurt you. So you always want to seek, you know, advice from people like you.
Absolutely. Prevention is better than cure.
Right.
And since we live in 2026 and not 1726, human body has changed. The food has changed.
What do you think the colonoscopies were like back then?
I think that was mostly European torture devices, you know. And knight came with this sharp sword and put inside you and came out from your mouth. Check for diseases.
Yeah, not a good time. Not a good time. Thank God.
But those days, they love spikes on everything.
Exactly.
So imagine getting a spike colonoscopy. No, you're going to be bruised inside out.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You'll be screaming for mercy.
Yes. So much better time. Congratulations, guys.
Yes. Okay. So that's the benefit of being in 2026. You know, now you can swallow a GoPro camera and be better for you versus, you know, the medieval torture devices with spikes on them.
Yes.
I forgot what we were talking about.
It's taking a look inside. And, you know, when you find polyps, people hear polyps and now it's become like, should I be nervous about that? You know, he knows what he's doing. He's going to get that out of the way so we don't have the bigger problems.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, polyps are like weeds that grow in your garden. So I'm your caretaker, you know, I'm the landscape guy. Go in, remove the polyps, make sure everything looks good in there, and then you're done.
Yeah.
You go, have your breakfast or, you know, lunch. And then if any issues, you call the doctor back. Otherwise, we'll give you the report and give you clearance and let you know when the next colonoscopy is going to be because it's a screening program. Once you have a polyp once, you need to check for it in a few years. Mm-hmm. How many years? We go based on the guidelines and the type of polyp you have and your family risk factors.
Right. So, you know, here's the other thing. Once he treats you in that capacity, He's not going to say, okay, you know, check with your doctor, check this little portal and see how you are. You really like to have conversations with people, maybe ask those questions. What does your diet look like? What are you drinking? You know, do you like the artificial sweeteners? Do you like this, that, the other? Because, man, the things that you've uncovered, and by the way, he has a book that you can get that can also shed some light on these things. The things that you've uncovered are like, you know, talk about that and that connection that you've made and why you want to share that sure. with your patients.
Absolutely. In a human body, it's one ecosystem, right? Everything mm-hmm. is connected, right? Your eyeballs connected to your brain, your liver is connected to your gut, your spleen's connected to your gut. Everything is connected.
I thought you were going to sing there. Your leg bone connected to
exactly.
the
Okay. Just like Angie said. Exactly. Yeah. Everything okay. is connected. So, you know, even though I'm a gastroenterologist, I'm a doctor first and I studied science. So you have to look at the big picture. Everything is
right.
connected.
Right.
And one common factor everything has is nutrition, your lifestyle, your stress, you know, what you do, how much liquid do you drink, and then what type of food are you eating, what kind of chemicals you're putting in your body. Even to the fact that if somebody has asthma flare, we ask them, what perfume do you wear?
Ooh.
Because I mean, it's not, you know, the perfumes are chemicals, guys. Yeah. I mean, they smell great, but it's chemicals.
Wow.
So even for that, we ask for those triggers. If somebody has... you know, celiac disease. We asked for, did you eat any pizza?
Yeah.
And they said, well, I gluten-free pizza. The question is, the restaurant that made the pizza, were they cooking stuff for people who are eating regular pizza
right.
at the same time? Is it cross-contamination?
Right.
Or did you kiss somebody who just ate pizza that's not gluten-free? So the details you have to go into is means, well, how do you get the exposure?
Mm-hmm.
So everything is connected and they're the trigger. And now there's a rise in food allergies.
Yeah.
And that's a big factor we are seeing these
Gosh,
days too.
Gosh, man, why didn't we have that back in the 1700s? I'm kidding. Even in 1900s.
Cleaner food.
You know, is that what it is?
I think food was cleaner, more organic, you know, organically grown. Now it's mass produced and, you know, we are adding stuff to the food to preserve it.
Yeah.
And actually, as a matter of fact, I was listening to a podcast a few days ago. You know, cannot name a brand because I don't want to be sued. Apparently, when they make their taco shells or their beef taco material, they put silica in there, silicon dioxide, which is like sand. It's the silicon dioxide is sand. So basically, wow. we have fillers such as sand-like chemicals in our food to increase the shelf life. So no wonder people have stomach
wow.
pain, and belly pain, constipation, and food allergies because not only are we adding that, we're adding other chemicals. You know, when you read a label, which I recommend people do read the labels,
yeah.
I would say invest in a magnifying glass. Just get a magnifying
no
glass
because
those labels are so small. I use my iPhone's camera on a Zoom to read the labels because you'll see only half what is in there is functional ingredient. Rest is just fillers and preservatives.
Yeah.
When you eat that, no wonder you're going to have stomach pain and IBS, things like
wow.
that.
Wow. Yeah. And the other thing to consider, you know, we've been talking a little bit about today, genetics. I mean, your predisposition, you know, where do you come from? And I know you'll be mad at great grandma or great granddad or whatever, but you got to pay attention to all of that stuff because it's really your map. It's the way your life's going to, you know, play out. You can, of course, change the course of certain things by the way you live. But man, it's so important to, you know, now you're not just trying to connect those dots to know, you know, if you need a kidney or whatever. It's like, what's my life going to look like?
Oh, absolutely.
Health-wise.
No, you bring up a great point, Angie. As a matter of fact, what I see is in my experience that when somebody has a heartburn in the family, say your dad or mom has heartburn, you have a high risk of heartburn too. If your family has gallstones, say mom and dad have gallstones, somebody has gallstones, you can have gallstones too. If somebody has pancreas disease or Crohn's disease or colitis, you have high risk of that too. As a matter of fact, for Crohn's disease, which is a type of IBD or inflammatory bowel disease, if one parent has Crohn's disease, your risk of having Crohn's disease is like 35-40%. So it means that the genetic connection. So people should talk to their parents and their family members as to, hey, what diseases do you have? You know, We ask them all the other questions that we argue with them all the time. But one question would be, hey, what medication do you take? Because you can know what you can get because of that. So
that's
simple question over Thanksgiving dinner would be helpful. Or even random, just call
by
them
By the
up.
Way, pass the turkey. And hey, what's that pill you're popping over there? Yes.
So exactly. Hey,
that should go over like a
little. Can I see your colonoscopy pictures, please? Is that a polyp or a mushroom?
Stop. Stop.
Or is it an onion you ate?
All right, listen. He does have a book. It's very interesting. He's probably going to get into a series of books, but you can Google this guy, Dr. Raj, and you're going to see all that he's up to. But we want him to go to Amazon and buy the book because it's good, and we're selling it like it's cheap. It's a cheap book, and it's a great guide.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I believe in simple steps, and I write the way I talk, and I talk the way I write. Which is, you know, one sentence and a period, and then, you know, next idea. It still flows nicely. So I wrote the book myself, as a matter of fact. Even did the photography myself, too.
Very nice. I
don't believe in ghostwriting. I don't believe that, because that's not honest.
That's not you.
That's
right.
Not honest. And I cannot have somebody else represent me if they're not me.
Right.
So I wrote the book myself, typed up everything myself, designed everything myself, too. So the book is written the way I would talk to my family.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy read, only 125 some pages.
Great guy.
Half is pictures. I mean, you can finish this in 2 hours for mm-hmm. sit down. And if you leave it in the bathroom too, you can read it, you know.
Smart.
Every time you go to the bathroom.
You'll know what to eat when you get up.
Exactly. If you go, you know, you go to the bathroom once a day and you put this book next to your, you know, toilet, depending on how much time you spend in there, you'll be done in like 5 days with the book.
Yeah,
and it's fun too.
It's so interesting that you brought reading your book back to the toilet. How we begin this conversation, what happens there.
I'm in a shitty business.
Bleep, 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 bleep. No, I'm kidding. We're adults here. Dr. Raj, check him out. You know the book now. And learn more about how, you know, he's made a business out of what he cared about, what he wanted to learn more about, and how he wanted to help other people. And you can too. You know, just think about what's important in your life, whether it's gut health or whatever, and reach out to this guy. And I think you could learn a lot, no doubt.
Absolutely. Oh, and the book is called Pursuit of Gut Happiness.
You were supposed to say that off the top.
Oh, like, you know, I'm not a salesman. I'm just a doctor.
Pursuit of gut
happiness.
Health. Happiness.
Gut happiness.
Gut health leads to happiness.
That's correct. Yeah.
Happy life.
If your gut is happy, then you're happy too. Because if you're not bloated, you're happy.
Amen. If you're not dealing with diarrhea, you're happy, man.
Or constipation.
Constipation. All those lovely words. Mm-hmm. All right.
Bowel moments.
Not movements. Okay. Until next time. Thank you so much. And Marketabilities Podcast, find us and find this guy, Dr. Raj, and get his book. It's kind of cool. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.